Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lift up the team of Calvary Chapel Columbus going to Mancora, Peru. Lord, provide for the trip. Provide your word and everything that is necessary that you want to accomplish in Mancora. Prepare every person. Prepare us, Lord, to go. Give us the words to Mancora, and plant that servant that you have for that city, as a church is to be planted. And you open the doors, Lord, that the gospel would go swiftly into that city and throughout that region of northern Peru. Open your word to us tonight. Be our strength and our peace, and as Joe prayed, Lord, be our joy. Our joy, Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We thank you and we love you. And we love to pray in your precious name. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Vanessa, your homework is to find out where the Bible says a person that wins souls is wise. Okay. Blue letter Bible. I know you guys read ahead. We are going to be in Mark chapter 5. You know, you talk about being on the front lines, and the purpose of what is going on right now in the book of Mark is the sole purpose of, one, the word was written for us later on, these 2,000 years later. But the purpose then was, you're observing the life of Jesus Christ and his disciples, and what is going on is discipleship. They're watching Jesus defuse bombs, rescue little boats that are capsizing. You know, he is speaking in parables. He's been, all these things that the disciples are watching. And you and I are being watched, regardless if we want to be that. Who was it that Charles Barkley said, I am not a role model? That's, if you know Charles Barkley, that's one of his famous quotes. But needless to say, that's not true. We are modeling something. We have a role that we are going through in our lives. I've been watched by my four daughters the last 20-something years, 25 years. I think Melissa just turned in August, turned 25. I didn't want to tell them. But we are watching the Lord, through the book of Mark, through as the suffering servant, or more in these first chapters, we are observing the works and the power of his words that he is walking through in this life. And in this portion, have in mind, even for yourself, where Paul tells the Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, all the above, darkness. That your enemy and my enemy is not my wife, it's not my coworker, it's the demonic. And here we are looking at, as Jesus has left one side of the sea and he goes to the eastern side, and he is about to encounter, otherwise known as a cutter. I'm involved daily in defusing bombs and kids that want to destroy themselves. And they tell the resource officer, you give me that gun right now and I'll blow everybody away and myself. You have little kids, 8, 9 years old. So I'm going to kill myself. I want to kill myself. And the whole day we're involved in that. From one moment you're teaching algebra, the next moment you got a kid on the ground in handcuffs. And it is like intense. But you stand and you diffuse and you go from one to the next to the next. And they are a needy people. And they are a people that are, if 90% sexually dysfunctional. You know, from you know, seriously freaking out on other kids, homosexuals, perverts, some are on the, you know, they're on that list of, you know, you have to be watching these people. And they're 18 and below. 8 years old, 6 years old. And Jesus goes into the other side of the sea. And let's start it in chapter 5. It says, then they came to the other side of the sea, being the disciples and those that wanted to still hang around the Lord, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat immediately, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. So here we have Jesus gets out of the boat, and immediately, who knows what Jesus had in mind? If you're involved in, you know, in ministry, if you're in the front lines, you will experience it. There is no doubt that you will experience attacks from the enemy. It is normal for that to happen all the time. Absolutely. Any work of the Lord, you will encounter the demonic. Now, I'm not saying out behind every bush there's a demon, because everybody sometimes freaks out and it's like, you know, that thing's talking to me. And you have so-called belief, that one's talking to me. And you're having issues. Because I have been in and participated in so-called exorcisms or services where there's my brother in the Lord, and he claims to be a Christian. He claims that greater is he that is in me is in me, but he also claims he has a demon inside of him. Where by no means in Scripture it does not say that is possible. Now, there can be oppression. There can be strongholds. There can be footholds. There is no doubt about that. We know that. If you've been close to the Lord or worked for the Lord, that comes with the territory. There's no excuse. You can't avoid it. You can't duck it. Because you're in the trenches. You are fighting. You are in a battle daily. If not, you're laying low and you're letting the enemy just run right over you. And that's not us. But I've been in those situations where, you know, the whole church believes possession of a believer. And it's not happening. And here, he comes upon this person who always night and day is in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself. What kind of mind is that? Now, psychology will tell you there's chemical imbalance. You know, what if a psychiatrist was with Jesus and the disciples that day? Automatically. The psychiatrists have tried to put him in shackles. They've tried to put him in chains. They've tried this. They've tried that. Been bound. Hanging around the tombs. But he's identified here as one having an unclean spirit. Automatically, a lot of people think unclean. Well, he's doing nasty stuff or dirty stuff. Look at the results of what is happening to him. If you've been around a cutter, that is one of the most dangerous things you will ever be around. I've seen it happen within minutes. If someone just moved, just changed rapidly, and by 5 minutes later, if you're not careful, the whole arm is just gushing with blood. I've seen it, you know, in other countries, it just guys just completely from here to here, a row of scars. Now, I'm not trying to exaggerate the point. But you're seeing these disciples being taught everything that has to do. Anything. The demonic, boats freaking out of you, storms going awry. This is not a lesson in, oh, I'm afraid of demons. This is bringing fear. It's not that. As I've told you before, the Lord came here and He's a powerful God. Even as this unclean spirit later on will open and point Him that He is deity, He is the Son of God. Not just, you know, this is a casual thing going on. And as He is discipling His men and those around Him. Here He is identifying the man and his activities, what has been going on, what they've tried on him. And guess what? Nothing has worked. Now, I'm not saying your friend, your cousin, had the demonic or anything, but she knew there was something missing. There is something missing. And obviously from this man, there's something missing from him. So they're going on this boat. I love the pastor that I'm going to go on this mission trip. I've gone with him before to the same city. And it's almost as if there's nothing planned. And in reality, at times there is nothing planned. And if you're the person that has to have everything planned and everything to the T, do not go with Pastor Mark Swift. And that's not a bad thing. But when you go that way, and I'm not seeing where Jesus had this scripted. Well, we're going to the other side, and we're going to meet the demon, we're going to cast him out, and that's on the itinerary, and that's all. No. Let me tell you, when you put your itinerary up there, Satan gets in there. He'll try to get weasel himself in there. But when we go on these trips, it's like, what's happening? What's going on here? And you start to find out the enemy wants to go back home. I've seen people just cuss each other. Brothers and sisters in the Lord on mission trips just start cussing each other out to stop the, be it VBS, be it whatever. So things will not go function. And all of a sudden, what? Oh, you're on the trip. What do? Let's stop the trip because she started cussing at us. Let's go back home. The devil is in this. And you're like, then you start noticing, what is happening? You know, Jesus did disciple them on this portion right here. It's a powerful thing, but yet it shows the power of Christ even greater than this. Verse 6, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. Jesus does not desire to be worshipped by the demonic. That is not, he's not into that. That's like serious pride. There's some issues going on there. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, you by God, that you do not torment me. I mean, we're getting in here, we're starting to deal. Please, do not torment us. They were starting to, you know, they want to negotiate because they know the power that he can inflict on them, torment them. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? Now you can get into these ministries, and I've seen them even as a kid. My parents, the church they brought us up in, you know, one was Baptist, one was Assembly, and the, there was a big war over who was more spiritual and all that. And they dragged a family around to all these ministries. And I've been in tent revivals where I didn't know what was happening. You know, I heard rooster sounds coming out of people. I heard all these things. And you can see them even on TBN. You can see them on ministry. When you sit there, sit down, brother. Who am I speaking to in here? And they start this whole thing. And they start talking to the so-called demonic. Here Jesus is having a conversation with them. Now, Paul, you know, the girl came up to Paul. And Paul cast the demon out of her. Now, the sons of Sceva wanted to do the same thing. Hey, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but we... And he left naked. And here, he is having his conversation with this unclean spirit. We have no conversation to be, we are not, we don't have that much authority as far as just going on a conversation and you negotiate. Now, Jesus here is getting to a point where, okay, I'm identifying you. I know who you are. You're telling me who you are. You're telling me this and that and where you want to go. I've never seen Paul or anywhere in Scripture where it says this. I don't want to be like the sons of Sceva and all of a sudden, you know, I find myself all mangled. And at times, if you're not careful walking in the flesh, you get into some situations. And you don't know what in the world has happened to you. And you begin to hurt physically and spiritually. And you wonder why you just want to go lay down. And you are so discouraged. Discouragement is one of the biggest demonic attacks on the believer. On a pastor, on the head of a church, on a head of a Bible college or whatever it may be. You wives know this, or you that have been in the ministry for a while. You do not wonder why your husband is in bed for some 3 days with depression. Or he's hurting. Or he's being attacked. And he's in pain. Or whatever it may be. Realize and know it is the attack of Satan himself or his demonic influence. To keep him in bed and his mouth shut. Because why? That man, that woman, that minister, that director has been chosen by God and anointed to spread the gospel and the good news when there's no one else to take your place. God had you at the right spot at the right time to talk to Ashley. And it has you folks here at this time in Dothan, Alabama. You may think, where's the fruit? Where's this or that? That's up to God. That's not up to you. Some plant, some water, God gives the increase. But realize the things that Jesus is showing his disciples here. One, he identifies him. The demon identifies who he's talking to. He says, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Very, very strong position there. It says, I implore you. You, by God, that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And then he gives him a Latin term here, and he answered him saying, my name is Legion, which is about 6,000. For we are many. Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, is that an everyday occurrence? We run into people that may have a legion in them. I don't know. I can't sit here and identify, oh, I see something in you, brother. Oh, I see something. Oh, there's something there. Well, God has revealed this. You cannot see. You and I cannot see what is inside of another person. You see that person tearing up chains, breaking shackles, cutting themselves. More than likely, they're fitting the criteria that you have some kind of bug in you. If something's unbalanced, something's not right, more likely you are demon-possessed, especially if you are tormented and want to kill yourself. The enemy desires to destroy. It's a pleasure to begin with sin, and it ends up being unclean and death. The wages of sin is death. And that's it brings that upon the life of a person. Especially being possessed with a demonic. You know, these days it isn't the reality that many people are going into that area is growing stronger day by day. It's like this. We have discussed there's no prayer allowed. There's no praying. There's no manger scene. And on and on and on. It's, to a certain degree, there's a battle that has been laid down. And I bring it to this point. If we have become a secular country, we will not remain idle. You look at the nation, or you look at the Islamic faith, and I may be drawing a line here, and I say this very carefully. Where the Lord is not welcome, it cannot remain neutral. The spirit that is in the Muslim faith, it is potent and will occupy areas where the Lord has not been welcomed to a degree. And we see what they bring upon with their faith. Death, destruction, sin, a hate towards God, a hate towards Jesus Christ, a hate towards women, a hate towards anyone else, or anyone that is not of their faith. Especially the destruction of Israel. We think, oh, it's just people that beat themselves and cut themselves. You've seen these places where they go do their worship. And they cut themselves continually. They make these little tools of torture for themselves. And they do that. I don't like to see where a place becomes vacant. Especially when Christ has dwelled there before. A region, an area. Because this can move in easily. Where an atheist or a non-believer or a person has been like, I don't want the Jesus. And guess what? This is a gift. Jesus will not force himself into a people. The Bible says, a nation that forgets God will be turned into hell. And those are hard words. The Word of God comes with power. It comes with power. It is preached with power, with the Holy Spirit. These other faiths also come with power of destruction, of hate, the demonic. And we must have the Spirit of Jesus to say, enough here, enough there. Your pastor asked me, do you share the gospel with people? I have to. I can't help it. I have to. There's no choice in the school that I'm in. In the public schools where I am forbidden, do not speak the gospel. I have to. I see so many souls that are being tortured day by day. These kids where I'm at are not there by, you know, I broke an eraser today. Or I kind of, we know, we passed the note playing tic-tac-toe back and forth. These kids need Jesus Christ. Counseling hasn't worked. Psychiatry hasn't worked. Money hasn't worked. And here we see what's going to work. And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine, that we may enter them." I mean, you're sitting here, you're a pig. You're innocent of anything going on. You're a bystander, innocent bystander. And these things say, "Send us to the swine." And then they become deviled ham. I'm sorry. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. About 2,000 hogs. I've never seen 2,000 hogs in one spot before. If you're seeing the picture that is being portrayed here in Word, that's a lot of hogs. A lot. We'd rather go to the hogs than the place where you want to send us or be in torment. And if you're the disciple of Jesus Christ or those around him and you're watching all of this, now he has authority to cast out. I want you to go here. Not just one of you. Every one of you, unclean. And they go away and they drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled. And they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it had happened to him who had been demon-possessed, and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from that region. We see the whole picture here unfolded. I love to read this part. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. What has Christ done for me since salvation? What has Christ done to you or for you? You sit in your right mind. What is the right mind? You're no longer doing the same thing, or you're no longer torturing yourself. You're no longer cutting yourself, or you can fill in the blank. He was in his right mind, clothed, before he was naked, cutting himself among the tombs. Peter says, you must give an account, or you must say, what in the world is inside of you? What is this that you have inside of you? You must tell them. You must give an account. Of what is this joy about you, this peace about you, that you're in your right mind? You must give an explanation to the world. And here he is in his right mind. The people are afraid. Yeah, I mean, if you see a big thug you've always been bullied by, and then he wants to hug you. We got an issue, you know. Of course. You can't believe some of the things. Some of the things that God delivers people from, and they're a totally different person. And you come to church, oh man, I can't believe you. No way. Christ saved you? He did. And He does. And He will continue to do that. It was not always a good thing, because verse 17 says, then they began to plead with Him to depart from their region. Hey, all their money was gone. 2,000 hogs. 2,000 head of hog. You know, you come over here and save one guy, but all our hog are gone. But they don't see the goodness of it. It's always good to do and see and go by and do the plan of God. To go His way. Nothing will go right in your life if you're not careful. You become fearful. It's like, Lord, please, my business is gone or whatever. Depart, you know, please. I mean, they're saying, they pled with Him to depart from their region. Please leave us. What else are you going to do? And that's the part you and I have to, we have to deal with. What are you going to do with this Jesus that we have? You go into another region, you go into, you know, this is an outreach we're out here right now in Dothan, Alabama. By night, you know, your thoughts go, hey, go back to Hawaii. Go back, eat your rice pudding and your manapua. You know, go back to Waikiki or hang out in you know, Kauai. You know, get you a Hobie Cat. You know, a big sail on. Chill out. You only got a few years. You know, go. You think that's the Lord? Hey! Daily, if you're not careful, the enemy tells you, why are you serving the Lord? Why do you want Jesus? Where you could, you know, fool around with your taxes over here and just do whatever. You don't have to do the right thing. Get more Christmas gifts if you do it that way. And the enemy pleads with you. Go away. Now, I'm not trying to change the context of this thing, but look in reality of these people pleading, get out of here, man. You're messing us up. Our routine is ruined because of you. We can't do... Watch a believer walk into a den of whatever. And Jesus called me you den of vipers. You watch... It's like it ruins their day. You don't even have to say Jesus sometimes. You just say, hey, good morning. How are you? What'd you say to me? Please leave. I can't stand it. You enter and you see more of the demonic even there. When somebody can't say, I'm just in a bad mood. But no, you go into some places. It is so thick. Don't bring... You know, you can be saying, oh, the big guy upstairs, oh, the great, you know, the big man. And then Vanessa goes, well, Jesus teaches me in the Bible. And they're like, what? Please don't say that. Don't go there. That's like ruining our business. We feel bad now. It's horrible. Go your way. You can't go away. This man that wrote this book, Paul didn't like him for a while. If you remember the story about it. We're going on this missionary trip and you bagged out on us. And we're going on another and you want to go? Don't be ridiculous. Yes, he backed out, but later on, guess who's ministering to Paul? And if you do find yourself in that condition, guess what? There's a Barnabas around the corner saying, come on back, man. We got to go this way. We're going to do this one. And the demonic or whatever it may try to discourage you. And even here, he's being told, and they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you, and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marvel. But everybody wants to go where the crowd is. Everybody wants to go. And he says, no. Go and witness for me. This and this and this and this is what the Lord, it says here, and God had what? He says, and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Not like us, hey, stop that cutting. You're crazy. Stop it. No, it's like, come out of him. That's compassion. That's who our Lord is. He is discipling and telling his disciples through his actions, I am a compassionate God. Who could ever think about this? To come and relieve a person of their sin, of their agony, of their pain, of their heartache. Be healed. Come out of him. Be cleansed. May all your sorrow be washed away. All your pain, all your heartache. Whoever, I don't know, we want to say, well, it was my dad that taught me how to cut myself. It is his fault or whatever. But Jesus comes by and says, stop this stuff. This is enough. My grace is sufficient for you. And he pours it on him. No more cutting. He was in his right mind and clothed. Without Christ, we're naked out of our mind. And now we are clothed in our right mind because of him having compassion on us. Not because we were good. Not because, you know, Phil had a standard. No, he was in church every Sunday, every Wednesday. He was here and there. He prayed 10 times a day. No. No. It's by the grace of God. You're the one that attacked me first, bro. He gets out of the boat. You're the one that came at me. I could have said, hey, be gone. Go away. I'm hanging out with my disciples. Us four, no more. We're holy. Get away. Jesus never has that mentality. I've seen brothers and sisters just shriek at, you know, the appearances of people. You know, studs and wires and stuff coming out of people. Horrible. Get away from me. Go get yourself washed up and then we can talk Sunday school. That's not compassion. Jesus got this man where he was at. He was in the tombs. He was crying. He was cutting himself. You know, tearing the chains, the shackles, whatever. There is no telling where the Lord is going to take you to go pull somebody out. I'm not saying go hang around the cemetery. The Lord leads you. I don't know. But he does ask you this, to have compassion. Oh, poor little fella, you're demon-possessed. No, it's like, we're going to take care of something right now. This power that is inside of me that comes from the cross, that comes from Jesus Christ, from the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. And I give you a Bible. And you tell me later on, it's broken some chains in your life. Now we're talking. Now we're talking. Because you give word, the word of God. Here, this will take care of that whatever little cat's messing with you. whatever that thing is. My wife will tell you her testimony maybe one day. I didn't know this whole plan of Jesus Christ. I just had it here because I had had enough of her questions. Here, just read the Bible. My wife was cleansed and saved because she read the Bible. That's all you have to do. Paul says, some water, some plant. Let God do the increase. As the worship team comes up, I just want to say this. At times we do feel like laying down and just say, hey, this is enough. Realize and understand that's not of the Lord. And there are times we are weary and we are hurting, we are in pain. But let us not allow the influences of the enemy to direct our life, to lead us around. Don't allow discouragement to make the end of you. I've seen many men in the battle in the trenches, and they keep going. They keep going. They keep going. I've seen police officers. I've seen government officials come at pastors right before a service. Where are your papers? You better this and now. You better hurry up. You better get this. Attack and attack and attack. And time for time, the Lord miraculously just, here's what you're requiring me. Here's what's happening. As Jesus is discipling his men, this is how I deal with the demonic. The result is, there's a healed person in the right mind and clothed. Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord. Many times did the Lord tell Joshua, be strong in the Lord. Or Moses tell Joshua, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. Be strong in Him. Lord, we love You and we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we have no fear of our enemy. We have no fear of tomorrow. Let us stand boldly in You. Thank You, Lord, that You have compassion on us. Thank You, Lord, for Your love. That for You so loved us that You gave us Jesus Christ. For our sins, for our torment, for our pain, You gave us compassion. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for being good to us. Thank You, Jesus, for setting us free, for giving us life and life more abundant. Thank You, Jesus, for Your love. I can't thank You enough, Lord, for being good to us. Bless Calvary Chapel, Dothan, Alabama. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Amen.